Hello, everybody, and welcome to the fifth episode of That Millennial Life. All right, let's get right to it today. On today's episode is Scott Chaplin. Scott is an up-and-coming stand-up comic, and he's doing very well in the New York scene. And yeah, some interesting things are starting to happen to him and in his career. And I've actually known Scott for a while because he's my next-door neighbor and has been for, I guess, geez, like 16 or 17 years for the amount of time I've lived in the house that I'm currently living in. And yeah, he's a few years older than me, but we grew up adjacent to each other. So yeah, he and I go way back. So we reminisced about better days when the main focus was not needing to have a main focus. But the primary reason I wanted to have Scott on is because of his current success in pursuing something in the creative realm. And I talk in the interview about how I was unsure if what we talked about would be relatable, but I think it can be for the idea that I'm about to talk about. And to fully understand the idea that I'm trying to articulate, I want to talk about something that Charlie and I talked about in the last episode. We talked about our struggles in a mutual creative situation when being a part of a late night talk show at our school, and I did a very good job of illuminating the things that happened to me that I disagreed with. For instance, the pressure on Charlie and I to get to know the entire crew and to be completely accepting of their ideas. And although I don't think that was completely fair, I realize now I could have done more. Aspects of a creative situation not going the way I initially had intended them to go, or the way I thought they should go, made me complacent, when I could have done more to try to alleviate the difficulties that all parties involved were having with each other in this particular creative situation. And, you know, the reason I bring this up is because I think that complacency is, well, at least for me personally, sometimes can be a significant detriment to creative pursuits. And I believe that in trying to get someone to embark on something creative, oftentimes the most difficult part is getting started and becoming comfortable enough with yourself to put yourself out there. There's been so many times where I should be writing scripts or trying to film something or doing something else, but sometimes I'm like, yeah, but my bed is like really comfortable. and that's the thing. That's the thing I'm talking about. Sometimes I can get comfortable with whatever situation I'm in, and that prevents me from wanting to try to do more. And that's why part of me wants to move out of my parents' nice suburban home and live on a subway somewhere, like Hannibal Buress style, and struggle, and to the point where I have no other choice but to fully go after my creative pursuits. But anyway, that's why I wanted to have Scott on the show, because he's someone who started doing stand-up when he was in high school and found some success, and now he's all in. He's fully committed, and I think that's admirable. So that's why I was very thankful to have Scott on the show and to have him talk to me. And I think that he should serve as an example to anybody out there, including myself, who may at times get comfortable. So, fuck being comfortable. Go out there and go after what you want. All right, here's Scott. Listen to one podcast that you were on, I think.
Which
was
one?
You and a bunch of dudes talking. You told the story about the shit, leaving the shit in the paper bag.
Oh yeah, we would like
and
wait
it was,
for.
It was your modification of the classic joke.
Yeah, we would like wait for for one of us to have to shit. We wait for like hours.
Like that's what you spent your whole day doing.
Yeah, it was like when's someone gonna shit?
Yeah.
And then we'd shit in the bag. God. Yeah.
How was you were just in L.A. How was L.A.?
It was crazy.
What did you do there? Are you allowed to say?
Yeah, I mean, not completely, but I got flown out there by a television network.
Oh, wow.
And they treated me really nice. That's and we'll awesome. See what happens, but I did like a few shows out there. I didn't do a lot because it was really last minute. Like, they told me on a Monday I was going and I left Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was awesome though.
How long were you there?
I stayed till Saturday. That's I didn't cool. have to, but I took some meetings with like
they like they got you a hotel and got you some.
Yeah. Well, they put me up for 2 nights.
Yeah.
As long as we were doing like the business thing we were doing.
Yeah.
And then I stayed with John Wallach. Who lives
oh, really?
On the street, yeah.
Yeah, obviously. I was going to talk about him, but I just want to say that I'm here with my neighbor, my next door neighbor of the whole time I lived in the house that I'm in now, which is what, fucking 15, 16 years?
Yeah, that's fucking nuts.
And his name is Scott Chaplin, and he's a stand-up comedian in the New York scene.
Doing well.
I just saw you at Caroline's. Was that your first headlining gig?
Yeah, it was my first headlining gig ever.
You haven't had one since?
No, I mean, you know, I've closed out shows, just like straight headlining 45 minutes to an hour. No.
And before that, you just like opened for dudes and 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, I consistently feature. Last night, I did a Rhode Island Comedy Festival. So like I didn't sleep. I got home at like 5 and I've like barely slept. I slept for like 2 hours.
That's the life of a comic.
Yeah, it's stupid. I mean, I sleep in it all day.
I heard Trevor, you know, Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
He was talking about how his schedule is he wakes up at like 9 p.m.
Yeah, that's fucking insane.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then he goes and does spots till like 2, 3. And then he goes eats breakfast like at 3 in the morning and then does his groceries.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... And I was like, I am never going to be a comic.
That's
ridiculous.
Yeah, people, you know, loved ones get angry that you're sleeping all
day.
But what are you going to do?
Nocturnal. Yeah. But I don't know if besides like the little tidbit I told you when we were Facebook messaging about what the point of the show is.
Yeah, yeah.
And pretty much it's just me talking to a bunch of different people around our age about their upbringings and about their lives now in a way of trying to...
connect the pieces?
Yeah, and to show like that we're maybe headed... Because like the way I thought of it, and I've said this before, is like all generations previously when they were in our position didn't have the capability of doing what we're doing now in publicly putting our voices out there.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's bad it's sometimes, good. And it's good. You think it's terrible.
I think it's almost
always
bad.
Well, I mean, if it's used for the good... Oh, dude, there's so many things I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I think it's almost always bad. I don't tweet. I never post Facebook statuses unless
broken. This is like a long form.
Yeah, this is
You're
cool.
You're hearing
this is
his
talking.
Actual what people are.
Yeah,
there isn't
no, I like
a filter.
That. Yeah.
So I just thought like that would be like, these 23-4-year-old kids aren't
going to
destroy the world.
Yeah.
But yeah. But anyway... So usually I would start the podcast by asking the people where they grew up and like what their background was. You grew up next door, so we don't really need to go over that. Pequannock, New Jersey. I was wondering, because I know what my experience was, but I was wondering what your experience growing up here was like and if it was a positive one for you and if you think it helped you in your comedy.
I think my life, you know, like my inside life helped me with comedy. You know what I mean? Like what happened behind closed doors kind of thing. For sure. I mean, this neighborhood, it was a nice neighborhood. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
no complaints.
A kid in every house.
Yeah.
We were always outside. It was amazing.
Yeah. Fucking professional wrestling on
Yeah. It was the best. We always were doing something ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you remember when you were like, I was thinking about this when I was trying to think of what to talk to you about. And you mentioned Johnny, so that was funny, but we were like really young, and this is me, and this is not in any way me trying to like confront you about this, but it's something funny to me that I wanted to bring out to you is we were like, me and my brother were chilled outside in the front yard, and I think you and Johnny were like washing a car or something, and you tricked my brother to like come over by where you guys were, and you dumped the soapy water bucket on his head. Yeah, well,
I remember like
part of growing up.
I literally remember one time bouncing on the Ashishik's trampoline, and I had like a lollipop in my mouth, and like Ben double bounced me, so the lollipop hit the back of my throat, and I started crying. And instead of being like, "Oh, that's an accident," Jim Ashishik was like, "You idiot," and like tossed him off.
Tossed
of the trampoline.
Ben. Yeah. I remember
like,
that
brutally.
Like
I remember,
it was
like,
his fault, and he like.
Yeah, I remember like if you guys like messed up in a game we were playing. I mean, you were younger than us. Like I remember like. People like lining you up on the I remember literally lining like Ben or even maybe you up like on the fence and by the adjacent pool, and they were like running themselves into you. Yeah, oh, they were terrible to you guys.
Well, that's just, you know what? Have you heard the Chris Rock? I think he was talking to Jerry Seinfeld on something. His bit about like how we need bullying.
Oh yeah, we absolutely.
Because someone whoever got so bullied is going to go cure AIDS.
Yeah, they're going to fix it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the
so problems. I don't really care. I didn't really care, but I think Ben got the brunt of it. But it's
He's doing great now. He could beat the shit out of all of us at the same time. So I think we're even.
But yeah. Anyway. So yeah, you went to the same high school as me, and this is something else I wanted to talk about, which I thought was interesting when remembering our lives together. Was I remember, and I don't know if you have this type of experience, but this is something that happened to me when I was a freshman in high school, and then also when I was a freshman in college. In that, when, like, for example, I'm a freshman in high school and I'm sitting in our choir class, mm-hmm. and the majority of the people in that class are all older than me. And I was like the only freshman.
Yeah.
And I remember like seeing you and like Rob Jennings and Dan Leva, mm-hmm. and like listening to the way you guys talked and listening to the things you talked about. I remember you asked our choir teacher about whether if there's anyone from contemporary times who could who could go up against Mozart and Beethoven in terms of songwriting styles. Yeah. And you're like, what about like McCartney and Lennon? Like, are they on the same, they on the same level? And he was like, no, definitely not. And I was like, that's such like an interesting question. Like, and then I was like, I was like 14 and I was like, I always wondered, I always had like this fantasy of, when I was like a freshman in high school, seeing people your age being like, I wonder what I'm going to be like when I'm your age. Am I going to feel like the way that I see them? And then when I get to be a senior in high school, I'm like, I don't feel like the way the idea I projected.
Yeah.
Did you have that similar experience where you see older people? Like when I go to college, there's kids who are seniors in college with beards. Man, I'm like, those are men.
No, I like hated everybody. Like I always thought I was more mature than everyone. Yeah, when I was a freshman, I hated the seniors. I thought I was smarter than everyone. Like just now, I've toned that down the past 2 years.
Well, you put yourself on a pedestal?
Not a pedestal. I mean, I'm an idiot, but also everyone else is an idiot. Yeah. So don't talk to me, you know?
Yeah.
I always thought like I had the most interesting thing to say, and I was dead wrong.
Well, I mean, some things that had an effect on me. And you were talking about like college basketball, and I remember even the cadence of your voice. Where you're like, NBA is terrible because, you know, college, it's about heart. That's what you're like.
Yeah, which I've never watched college basketball. That's what I'm telling you. I just talk out of my ass. You just like to preach things.
Yeah.
I just like getting a reaction. That's all it is.
That's
I liked fighting with teachers.
Yeah.
I liked fighting with students.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Speaking of perception and teachers and choir, what are your thoughts on the current status of our ex choir teacher?
Yeah, it's like a weird thing. This is crazy. Okay, so
if you want to explain what we're talking about,
they're our choir teacher, right?
I was only my freshman year. You were all 4 years.
Oh, it was all 4 years.
So you probably
and
knew
he was a
more.
Good guy.
He was
a good guy. Like, you know, like he was a little catty.
And he was fucking talented.
Yeah, he was talented. And well, that's the thing that you don't really. Okay, so the whole thing is he fingered. like a 16-year-old.
Yeah, so but he left our school, and then he went to another school, and one of his students that he had there.
Yeah. And
that's how I learned.
Instances in our school that, I mean, I'm not confirmed, but I've heard girls be like, I'm going to come forth. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
This is inaccurate, but it's fun to say. And this is, like, I just like reactions. So it's like, okay, Elvis Presley,
right?
Started having sex with Priscilla when she was 14 years old. Okay. Charlie Chaplin.
How old was he?
He was like in his like mid-20s.
Okay.
Charlie Chaplin impregnated a 15-year-old girl, right?
Okay.
Jimmy Page abducted a 14-year-old girl, right? Like, kept her for 6 months.
So are you
just
talking about
what I'm saying is
connection
like,
of talent to, like, trying to...
Yeah, it's like, having sex with kids is wrong, but if you do it, you might be a genius.
Oh, my God.
You might. That's stupid. No, but you know what it is?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, though. Yeah, that is stupid.
This is what I actually think,
and I really believe
this, is that... He was a very talented guy, and he got a lot of praise for what he did. And when you're really talented...
Musically,
yeah. But when you get praise, and I'm sure he was a smart guy, and I'm sure you could tell by the way he walked. He was complimented his whole life. When you're told you're great at everything, you want
to
maintain that.
You start to fabricate this, like...
You want to maintain it, and it's hard to impress a 35-year-old woman sexually, you know? And so Elvis Presley had sex with teenagers because they don't know if he's doing it right. They don't know if he's doing it right. Yeah. And so there's like this weird power control thing. Like, I am good at this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's a weird touchy thing, obviously.
Oh, my God.
But I think that's what it was. I mean, it was also like, I mean, those girls loved him. Like, there was girls who wanted to hang out with him.
He was able to have some weird, like,
and then there was that weird, like, how old was she? Was she 17, 16? And then it's like, what are you, when I was that age, like, I don't know. It's a weird thing.
The influence on the other spectrum. Yeah. Like, what if there was a woman choir teacher who was, like, good looking and talented?
Exactly.
I can't really say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird thing. But also,
yeah.
He, like, reached out to me when I moved to Brooklyn for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And was like, we got to get pizza. This was, like, during.
Oh, like the in
whole
the midst of it, yeah.
Case,
yeah.
And I was just like, "What are you doing?" Like, he was still commenting.
Yeah,
on
commenting
kids
on Facebook's, like, status. He would write stuff on my,
like,
Facebook,
looking good. I'm like, dude, just stop. Yeah. You just gotta go away.
He apparently he's like fixing pianos now. And
well, he's in jail right now.
He's in jail.
Yeah,
right
because
now.
It's great.
It happened again. I mean, like, he got out. It didn't happen again, but he got out.
Yeah, I mean, the whole court case was happening. He, like, posted bail, and then he was fixing pianos while this, you know, he kept delaying the case.
Right.
And then he's in jail now, and, like, those last two nights of him being free, he's just, like, posting statuses. This is why the internet's terrible. Like, his last night, like, I know what he ate for dinner. Like, he went to, like, some, like, steakhouse and was, like, remembering better times.
He kept, like, a catalog of his innocence.
Yeah, he had a status that was like, hey, if you're gonna be alone for a very long time, what would you try to learn about? And people were, like, commenting, like, maybe science. And it's like, Jesus.
Oh,
just,
no.
Yeah.
Do you know what his deal, like, how long is he there?
I think it's, like, 5 years, maybe. I don't know, you know.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, he's going to get jacked. That's pretty cool. That's like the only good thing.
Yeah, he could get some writing done.
Yeah. But also, I mean, if they know what he did, I think they usually keep them
people
in separate wards because they beat the shit out of you.
Types of people really badly.
Yeah, murderers like look down on that shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And I get it.
That's
I like
how
that.
I found
cool.
out what the politically correct way of saying fingering was, which is they
digitally penetrated. Like the craziest. Yeah, it sounds like he stuck, like, an iPod up a pussy or something.
That's really, yeah, that's the joke.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Anyway, I wanted to, we can move on from that.
Yeah, that's crazy. This is the whole podcast. Yeah, let's talk about this case we know nothing about. We don't know any, we're just making assumptions
on his whereabouts.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder, I hope
might not even be in jail.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It could be in
the free man.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
Say not to write, what's the town in Shawshank Redemption that Morgan Freeman goes?
I don't know. It's just a beach, isn't it? I don't fucking know.
There's some weird name. But anyway, another thing in terms of adolescence and I wanted to ask you about, and actually not just adolescence, it's your whole life. You, something that's interesting to me, you've never drank.
No, I've never had a sip of alcohol in my life.
In your life.
Like a drop.
I was going to, yeah.
I didn't drink coffee until like a year ago.
Yeah.
And I still hate coffee, but it's just like,
I
just need to be awake
sometimes. I've heard you talk about it on stage and no drugs.
I've never had a drug. I think my father threw a cigarette on the ground when I was in like third grade and I tried to pick it up and smoke it. But like, that's it. Like literally that's the closest you'll ever.
Is there some deeper
reason
that you have thought about as to why that's happened? Because I don't drink, but that's because I have drank.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you don't drink at all?
I mean,
you'll have like a,
if I go to a bar with my friends and they want to go, I'll like have a beer so I don't look like a serial killer in my hand.
Well, that's my issue.
Hard.
It was so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, now I got a girlfriend, but like to meet girls when you don't drink is fucking impossible.
Right?
Yeah. And you can't have one night stands because it's never, everyone has an excuse. Oh, that was crazy. And then I'm just like, oh, I was serious. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Oh, but like, is there a reason?
My father drank a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He drank a lot. Enough for me to go, no, thank you.
Really?
So yeah, it was pretty serious.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it was serious enough for me to never touch it.
Wow.
And to know I'm never going to.
Wow.
Like never. I mean, there's not even, if I wanted to, I would. I've never been interested at all.
Yeah. To be honest, the reason I stopped is because I felt like I was using it as a compromise for things, for social things that I don't innately have, like social attributes that I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like whenever I go to a party, like I always feel like I'm in the wrong place. Or I'm not talking to the right person, or I'm talking to someone for too long, and I kind of use the alcohol as like a buffer to just like not have to think about it.
And
I kind of started realizing, I was like, that's probably not a good thing that I'm using this
as a crutch.
Yeah. So like that's, I mean, not everyone needs to deal with that.
Yeah. Also, I'm a control freak.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's like a whole like cleansing. You don't want your body to like have
any
negative.
No, I eat shit. I eat.
Oh, really?
Oh, I eat like shit. Oh, I mean, wow. I eat ice cream every night.
Every night.
Every single night.
What's your go-to?
Anything. I say I eat ice cream all the time, but like I used to only eat like chocolate, mint chocolate chip. But like I literally just discovered cookie dough.
Oh,
like,
my God.
How like just now. And it's crazy.
Mark Maron has like a bit about how there's no better way to eat ice cream than just with so much self-hatred of just like, fuck me. Like this, knowing that it's
so
terrible.
Much.
So
yeah, I eat like shit. I mean.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm up late at night. Like, I get home from the city at like 1:00. There's all that's open is Taco Bell. You know? And
that's
so
true,
yeah, it's not that. It's I'm a control freak. I like driving always.
So alcohol has an effect on your ability to control things.
Oh yeah.
Whereas
of
eating
course.
Shitty really doesn't in the short term.
Yeah, I'm not gonna eat shitty and then like accidentally, do something stupid.
Right.
But I have control issues for sure. I always need to drive.
Yeah.
I need to know what I'm doing at all
times. Well, that's a healthy attitude, probably.
Yeah, to a degree, but then it gets bad, you know? Like, if I'm in the passenger seat, I'm panicking.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. I'm always, like, grabbing
I put
something.
My foot down like it's the brake all the time.
Oh, my God.
I'm really bad.
I think that, for me at least, it stems from just, like, a general nervousness.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. Anytime I have to go somewhere, I usually get there, like, an hour early. Whether it's a fucking movie or like shows, it's crazy. I get 2 hours early for shows. It's really stupid.
Wow. Anyway, I wanna move into comedy talk.
Yeah, let's do it.
Which is what's
all I know about.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm interested in what compelled you to do comedy because I know you started relatively young. So was the reason that you wanted to do it? Was because you saw all these comedians on TV and you like identified with them and saw a connection to them, or was it just like this natural ability in a social situation to make people laugh, like in your personal life, or was it something else completely?
The more like comedy on TV that I saw, the more I got angrier. Like I liked it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd rather just like nobody enjoy comedy and then me still do it. Like I just liked.
You like the expression of it. You don't.
Yeah,
need,
I don't.
So no feedback.
Yeah, like when people like you know, like when people start getting a lot of things, like they're like, "That's good for comedy. Your career's gonna boom." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I just want to be alone. Like, I'd rather there be three people in the audience.
Yeah,
I just like doing it. I like.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I like making.
That's
jokes.
Also very healthy.
Yeah, yeah, to a degree, it's like dangerous too. I mean, I don't tweet, and that's bad. I mean, you go into meetings and they're like, "How many Twitter followers do you have?"
No,
like,
I don't have a Twitter.
Tweet, yeah. I don't post statuses.
That's what everyone wants now.
Yeah, man.
And it's good for promotional aspects, but like.
Yeah. I got a call back for this show.
Yeah.
And I think I told you about this. And literally it was like me and like, I want to say 13 other people. Yeah, there's 14 of us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, where do you guys get up? Like thinking they were all stand-up comics.
Yeah.
And they were all like Instagram guys and Vine
they
guys.
Their comedy was all
they make that stuff. And I've never. Yeah. Like that stuff doesn't. Make me laugh. It's like always clever, never funny. Like it's not. There's something about it that's
like the little turn of phrases on Twitter that people do.
It's
and
too
like
cute.
The little...
And then also a lot of those are like some of my friends' jokes that they've said on stage, and they just use them.
They have no outlet to
the
say
whole,
that they're stealing them.
There's that. Come on, it's everywhere. It's like I'm gonna fuck this up. Oh, some people don't eat bacon for religious reasons, but I don't do religion for bacon reasons. That's Michael Che's joke. That's like one of his jokes, and people just use it everywhere, and they don't credit him. A lot of my friends, that happens. So I don't like the internet for that reason.
Wow.
I don't have any clips online. I mean, I have clips, but
they're
private.
Yeah, I know. You were telling me
they're
that,
private.
That
I'm just a lunatic.
That whenever someone posts something on YouTube, you don't want to. I want to talk about that more later, too.
Okay, yeah.
But so you weren't. So. You didn't have any like huge interests in comedians growing up. There weren't any.
Oh, I was obsessed.
Oh yeah, yeah. Who? I want to know.
Like, okay, so when I was like 5 years old, I was like, I want to be a pet detective. Like that's it. I just want to be a pet detective.
Yep.
I try to dress like fucking Ace Ventura and stuff.
Yep.
And then like when I was six, I was like, I want to be Jim Carrey. I don't want to. And then so from like 6 to 7, 8, it was like. Guys like Farley.
Did you ever have the realization of like, that's interesting that you just said that. Did you ever have the realization of like, oh, these are people pretending?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
it was like this, like, flipping.
Dude, when I was into Farley, like, I wanted to gain weight. Like, I tried to get fat when I was a kid. I mean, I couldn't.
God.
My metabolism is crazy. But,
yeah.
So I was obsessed with like comedic actors for a while. I mean, I think my AOL screen name was like, oh, I know what it is. It was SNL 2512.
Oh my God.
The 12 just for no reason because I was younger than that. But 25, I think it was like the 25th season.
Oh, wow.
So I was obsessed with those guys.
41 now, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
wow.
And I was obsessed with it. And then I saw Chris Rock bring the pain.
Yep.
And it changed
it. I
was like, this is funny. Everything else is shit. And then I was like really stubborn for a while. I was like, comedic actors aren't funny. The writers are funny, which is, it's wrong. But yeah. I was like a stupid kid.
Yeah.
So Chris Rock, Bring the Pain, like changed it all for me. And then every Christmas I would ask for comedy albums. I think by the time I was 12, I had like the Richard Pryor anthology.
Wow.
And I studied it like history.
Did you just see his Showtime? Or not, I don't think it just like...
Oh, the prior thing? Yeah, the Omit the Logic or something like that.
A documentary on him. He was crazy.
I mean, it's so... And I was just talking to my buddy when we were riding up to Rhode Island last night, and people say he's the greatest, and some people just say that because they feel like they have to. But if you listen to like the albums that people really aren't too familiar with, it's unbelievable. There's nothing...
Bad?
Better than it. No, it's so good. I mean...
Yeah, no, there's nothing bad.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's good. Like, he's...
Yeah.
I mean, he's bombing sometimes. Like, people are disagreeing
when
with him.
When he came back after he got, like, when he lit himself on fire, the first that he said he did on at, I forget where
it was. Okay, so the whole Live on the Sunset Strip recording?
Yeah, Sunset Strip. He did
There
bad.
Was two tapings, and his first night, he fucking bombed.
And there was, like, a bunch of celebrities in the audience.
And he just bombed. And,
he, like,
and then the second night, he annihilated.
Yeah, he killed.
But I like that. I like, he does this thing, like, he's literally... He's talking about having sex with men. I mean, he would have sex with guys, and he says it in a way that is so masculine that it's like, I'm gay for having sex with women. Like, it's crazy.
Yep, yeah.
He wasn't a gay guy. If anybody else said I had sex with guys, I'd be like, you're gay. I'd be like, you're bisexual, you're something. Mm-hmm. But with him, it's just like, no.
That's
of
crazy.
Course.
Because I was listening to something. There's a lot of things that you just said that sparked things in my head.
Yeah.
But just the last thing you just said was, I was listening to a podcast, and I think it was Bo Burnham. What do you think of Bo Burnham?
I think he's great. I think he's great.
I think he's
awesome.
He was talking about how like comedy's a boys' club and how he tries to use his comedy and say things that are gay, like giving off the impression that he's gay even though he isn't.
As a way to try to make
people who are gay feel comfortable with the fact that they're gay.
He'll
like make references to sucking dicks or something like that. But that's funny that he said that like there needs to be more of that in comedy, but that's funny that it's gone. It went all the way that back to prior.
He was serious. I mean, he was doing it and there was no shame.
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening to a bit yesterday in the car and he's just talking about like fist fighting his girlfriend at the time. And he's like, I fight her. Like I will.
Dude.
And it's like, if anybody said that now. But people fist fight their girlfriends. I mean, I would never be a girl, but there are people
who do that
exist that do that. And so
obviously
if you're a comic, you got to tell your story. And if that's something you do, that's what I love about comedy. Is like, you don't have to be, and another problem with comedy is like a lot of people think they have to be right or they have to be likable. And that's bullshit. That's the best part about comedy. That's why I like it so much. Like you could be a bad guy for a minute, you know, you could talk 10 minutes about being
air it out.
Yeah. Terrible or whatever. The whole likability.
Everyone has those thoughts.
Issue. Yeah,
as long as you can put it.
Like
the only rule clapping really with comedy is that it has to be funny.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah,
if you could say anything to me in a funny way.
So I like taking whatever people disagree with and trying. To,
yeah,
I'll force myself to believe in it.
Yeah.
Just because it's fun.
Yeah, with your opening thing at Caroline's was like ironically talking about how you were on Cosby's side.
I defend Michael Jackson. Yeah, and that's like people are like, oh, like you want to be edgy, like talk about Michael Jackson, but like,
yeah.
But then people just call him a everybody thinks he molested kids. So what is interesting about that? What's edgy about that?
Mm-hmm.
So defend the guy, even if you don't believe it. Just who cares? Who gives a shit? Just defend him. See what happens.
Yeah.
And but I mean, the bad thing about that is sometimes people want to fight you.
Yeah, and they take it the wrong way. And
then, and they don't get it. I mean, I did a showcase for Comedy Central last week.
Yeah.
It was the fucking worst.
Really? Why?
Like you're supposed to do 6 minutes and
is it like an audition to get
Caroline's? It was like an audition to get this thing Comics to Watch and the people just started talking to me and like, you're supposed to do your things, and I just snapped. I was just like, if you know, I'm not gonna do my shit if you're just trying to talk to me, and I just like flipped out on
everybody. What do you mean try to talk to you? Like while you were doing?
While I'm just doing my jokes, they're like just trying to like
start a dialogue, like make it a double. Yeah,
which sometimes I do that. Like at Caroline's, when you went, I did that. Because,
yeah. Oh, like yeah.
I knew people
crowd work. Yeah,
do crowd
yeah.
work, but this was
but
like you need to do 6 minutes.
It.
Yeah, and so I made it. I was like, I'm gonna make sure I don't ask them any questions, this and that.
Yeah.
And they still wanted to talk to me, and I flipped out.
Wow.
But I think that's cool. You know, yeah. like I not that it's cool, but
yeah.
If you feel like freaking out, freak out. That's the
right.
that's the fun part about comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not music. Yeah. I don't gotta keep singing the song.
Yeah.
If you're not listening to the fucking song, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy. So the first time you did it, you were how old?
17.
And you were yeah, at the Stress Factory.
Stress Factory in New Brunswick, yeah.
Yeah, and you the first time you went up, you did well, you said?
Dude, I did so fucking well the first time.
You must have been like, I'm doing this for the rest of my life.
Yeah, so I mean I knew that already.
Because most
man.
People like don't do well, even like
okay,
the
so
best
here's the thing.
Comedian.
And I told you this before. But
yeah.
So like I brought Rob Jennings down with me.
Yep.
And I think that's it. Was that it? I think it was just Rob.
Yeah.
And we went down the week before to watch an open mic to
right.
be like, can I do this? And then you go to an open mic and you know, oh, of course, like anybody can do this.
Yeah. Well,
and you know what I mean? Though?
Yeah,
just
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, I'm not saying I'm going to do well, but
anyone
has a lot to
mic.
Stand on
yeah,
stage.
Yeah.
And so I went up and it went really well. I mean, listen, 95% of it was because I was a 17-year-old who looked like he was 14.
Yeah.
Saying terrible things. So I did great. So I fucking, that night I bought like a Stress Factory t-shirt in the lobby and I went to school the next day wearing it. And I was like, yeah, I'm a comic now. Like
oh
whatever. The next week, next week, like 25 friends from town came to see me at the Stress Factory and I fucking bombed.
You did awful.
I did so bad. And oh my God, I still remember this. And I was like, I said something where like I was just like, oh yeah, I'm not good at anything. And I went to go say something and like some random guy was like, yeah, especially comedy.
Oh no.
Like, it was heartbreaking. And I still remember that fucking guy and he's terrible. He probably doesn't do it anymore, but like I hated him for that.
Oh wow.
I held serious grudges when I started because I was so young.
How long, yeah, after that second?
People still, like I'm still the young guy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm 25 and for most people, I'm the young guy.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So it's nuts. Yeah.
Well, there's some people younger than you doing it.
Oh my God, of
course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But so after that second time you did, I mean, obviously after the first time you did it, that gave you confidence to do it again. But after the second time, how long did you wait to go and do it a third time?
Just the next week. It was every Wednesday.
Oh,
so I would do it every, I mean, I could have done it more, but
yeah,
I was just doing it every Wednesday. It was like a really good club. They got a crowd at their open mics and yeah, man.
And then you just started doing better.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was like a good show, bad show, like sometimes happens.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's still that way.
Yeah.
Every time before I go up, I turn to whoever I'm next to and I go, I'm going to bomb.
Yeah.
Every time. And
sometimes
I do
and
sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
Last night, I did two shows. First one was awesome. Like, I emailed the guy today and I was like, can I get that tape? Because I just loved it so much.
Yeah.
And then the second show, like, wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I wasn't happy with it at all. It happens.
That's crazy. I'm interested in how your emotions change when you're like after a set that's good or bad. Do you ever go into doing a show or doing a set where you're depressed, and if you do well, like you come off and it's immediately gone and you're in a better mood? Like, do you think that has some type of effect on your?
Yeah, I mean it definitely makes me happy.
It makes
me happier than anything.
It's the best
thing that sucks about my loved ones too. It's like you'll never come close to this. Sorry,
dude, have that sometimes, and if I'm realizing that's happening, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
In that, I'm really, to be honest, I think that I'm more interested in listening to comedians talk just in interviews with each other, or
like
a comedian's in cars getting coffee, than I am in comedy, because I think they're so interesting. So that whenever I'm talking to like someone in my real life, I'm so bored by them because they don't hold my interest, and it sucks because. I mean, they're never going to live up to that, and it's me just kind of...
Of course.
But, yeah.
Yeah, if I have, like, a joke idea in my head, I'm not listening to what anybody's saying. Ever. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah,
I feel bad for my girlfriend sometimes, you know?
I've heard comedians talk about that, or be asked about that, in that, how much are you actually there in the situation? Are you present?
Yeah.
Or are you looking for
material?
Oh, yeah,
I'm totally... Yeah, no, it's... I don't think it's ever, like... Chris Rock,
like Seinfeld was
quote.
Like, I'm always looking for material, always.
Yeah, well, he's like autistic,
he's ridiculous.
Or something.
Yeah,
he's like
he
a psycho.
Sits down and writes every day.
And which is great.
Yeah,
obviously, I should do more of that.
Yeah,
but
but, everyone has different processes.
But Chris Rock has that quote about, like, if when you're a comic, like, you notice everything. So right. It's like, if ignorance is bliss, what's the opposite of that? It's hell. Like, it's just, and I was like that at first because I was so, like, on and engaged.
Yep.
And now I just live my life and I try to.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But speaking of process, I'm interested because what we were talking about, because I've heard some comedians who they take the time and sit down and write. And then I've heard of some comedians who are just always thinking about it, mm-hmm. always thinking about material and never kind of export it down digital, like on a piece of paper or on their phone.
Yeah.
And they're just always thinking about it. And then they go try it out at a club mm-hmm. and it might not be that good. And then they do it again and they mold it into where it becomes.
Yeah.
So in a way, it doesn't make it seem like it's fabricated. Mm-hmm. It's more natural.
Yeah, yeah.
Is your process any of those two, or is it a combination?
Do you I write trigger words?
I've heard
down.
Of bullet points. Yeah, it's all
like trigger words. Like if I have a joke about something, somebody fell off the bed or whatever, I'll just write the word bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it feels
yeah.
like, and then I work around that. Like I pretty much. When I think of a joke, it's like almost kind of complete in my head,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously like I gotta. Crank it a little bit, but
also
like when I'm not like very jokey, like it's
it's
more like longer, which I don't necessarily like I want to improve every day, you mm-hmm. know, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, we're getting there, but
yeah,
I just sure. like ideas, like I like really interesting ideas,
yeah,
and then I'll try to make them funny.
So when you get an idea, like when you're in the moment of thinking of an idea, are you at the point now where you can be like, oh, that's a bit, and it's definitely one, or are you sometimes wrong about it?
I'll force it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
If I think it's funny, I will force it into a bit, whether they want to hear it or not. Yeah, for sure. But that was like, I mean, in high school and stuff, especially in history class, I remember like anytime I gave my opinion on anything, everyone would just be laughing. And I was just like, all right, this is legitimately my opinion.
Wow.
But you think it's funny, so cool.
I guess just... It's fun. It's the way you naturally frame things. It's the way you comes off comedic.
Yeah, I have my brain has to like simplify stuff.
Yeah.
In order to, yeah, you know, that's like anybody. You just try to simplify it. But I think it's like my upbringing, like the way we speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you try to explain anything, like through like the simplification in my mind, it just sounds ridiculous.
Right.
So. Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm not to put you on the spot, but. Is there ever been a time where you were like sure that something would work as a bit and then you were proven wrong? Like where you were positive that an idea and you just never could figure it out. You never could get it to work.
I got this.
But you thought
I've been sitting on for like 3 years.
Yeah.
That is, people like it, but they're all just like, it's not finished and I can't finish it.
Yeah.
And it's not like I sit there every day and try to, cause I'd figure it out in a day if I wasn't a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so things like that like haunt me. There's like stories I have where I'm like, I know that'll do great.
Yeah.
I have like two stories that I'm like, these might be the best jokes in my set if I actually
figure out a way to do them.
Yeah. And I've literally been sitting on them for like 3 years.
Wow.
And I just can't. And it's like, and I bring it up anytime I really like bond with a comic and become good friends with them, I'll eventually
bring
those bits up to them. I'm like, dude, what the fuck do I do? Yeah.
Yeah,
there's two bits specifically where I'm like, it sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's things that I think are gonna kill sometimes and they don't.
Yeah.
And then it's the things I hate the most, like if it's like tourists,
right?
The joke I hate the most is what they're gonna laugh at the most. And the thing I really love, they're gonna get angry or confused or something. Yeah.
Right.
So it all depends on the audience.
It's interesting to me how you brought up other comedians like helping you or like not helping you, but
yeah, I would never let sometimes
you give tags or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is. It's hey, why don't you? Maybe you could talk about like in that way.
Yeah, of course.
And that's super.
But
helpful.
I'm interested in your thoughts of how other comedians influence you, influence like what your comedy is, because I've heard different things from different comedians not in real life, just me listening to interviews, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think it was Jim Norton was on Joe Rogan's podcast, mm-hmm. and they were talking about, I think it was Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
And he was saying how he never heard, Jim Norton was saying how he never heard of Bill Hicks, not never heard of him, never heard his comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's heard that he's like great, and I'm sure he is, but he doesn't want to listen to any more new comedians anymore because he doesn't want their style to influence his, and he wants to do what his thing is.
No shit,
But then I've heard of other comedians saying that they've gotten better by sitting in the back of comedy clubs and yeah. listening to the best people.
Yeah, listening to good comedy makes me think of new jokes faster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think, but I'm such a fucking loser.
Yeah,
yeah. My senior
no,
the yearbook thing.
Yeah,
I thanked Bill Hicks, Andy Kaufman,
yeah.
George Carlin, and Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
It was because I'm an idiot. So yeah, mm-hmm. I loved Hicks, and Hicks like ruined my life senior year
because
but you're too young to fucking know anything. And like now, I don't like that, like that preachy kind of, you know,
forcing ideas on other people, kind of.
Yeah, like if you have an opinion, say it, but don't, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Don't drown people in it.
Kinda. Yeah, don't try to teach me. And if you're gonna teach me, like, you better mask it with a lot of funny.
Yeah, you know?
And then I'll learn.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise,
that's interesting.
But yeah, I loved Hicks, and it messed up a lot of, like, I was just very confrontational when I was listening to Hicks.
Yeah, yeah. Because the reason I ask that is because people sometimes fall into the trap of hearing another comedian and like kind of
sounding like
subconsciously,
my first essence. I was just Louis C.K.
Yeah.
First 3 years, I was just like, what would Louis say?
Yeah.
When I write a packet, if it's like, okay, you try to write monologue jokes for Seth Meyers or whatever. Like, I just pretend I'm writing for Norm Macdonald because it's like easier to write monologue jokes in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all, I'm young and I still got a long ways to go.
Yep.
But I listen to Bill Burr and it bleeds in sometimes because they're such powerful voices, you know?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to talk about some more about you being young and in the business. Did you at a young age, since you started out, did you fall into any traps? Like,
no.
No.
I swear to God.
That's good.
Yeah. So
did you see any other young comedians fall into traps? Or is there any other?
I saw a lot of older comedians fall into traps.
Oh, really?
Like, I never did like bringers where it was like, hey, bring out five people and we'll give you stage time. Like,
right.
They have to pay. I never did one of those. I would never do a show that was like, you need to bring one person. And be like, well, then I'm not doing your show. I was always like pretty conscious of that. I don't know why, but I never got, you know, suckered into doing things that I didn't have to do. I remember when I first started, there was this thing they were starting up. It was like the Little Rascals of Comedy.
Yeah.
And, it was like Pete was in it, Pete Davidson, and these guys. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. Like, when I started, I was 17. I could have like taken advantage of the fact that I was a kid, but I grew my hair out intentionally and tried to grow a beard because I was like, I want people to take me seriously,
which
is like a flaw on my part because who knows what would have happened,
right?
You know, but I was like very stubborn and I just wanted people to like my jokes. And yeah, if you tried like anything silly, I would just like squash it.
Yeah.
And I've messed up a lot of times. I was like very arrogant at a young age.
Not that
I thought I was great at comedy,
but
I wanted to do it right. I wanted to do it the right way.
That's good.
Yeah. And like if you thought I was funny and you said, hey, email me if you want to be on the show.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, you thought I was funny. You email me. And it's just like, why would you? Who gives it? Dude, just email the guy. But I wouldn't. I was like very... I won't email people and ask them for spots, which everybody does, and I just can't do it, and it affects me.
Yeah,
but I'm stubborn. Yeah,
that was one thing I heard Kevin Hart talking about on his, I think his Marin interview, is that he would just give out his email or like make sure every place he went to just super promotionally.
Yeah, I can't do any of that. I think that's one of the reasons.
Because there's nothing funny about promoting yourself.
Yeah, if you went on my Facebook, I mean you maybe wouldn't think I do comedy. You know what I mean? I don't acknowledge it at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's such, everybody's just lying. I mean, everyone's just full of shit. And so it's like, all right, I'm going to do my shit quietly. And when something happens, you'll know. Like, you'll just know and don't worry about it. I hate when people try to brag about anything. And so I just try to keep quiet.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, that's healthy, I think.
Yeah. So.
Is there anything else in the business side of comedy that pisses you off that you saw, or like that you saw other people doing, they're like, nah, I'm not going to do that? Or did you just pretty much cover it all, you think?
I also think I was lucky. Like, I understood what hacky was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I know if I'm writing a joke,
mm-hmm.
I could go like, oh, I could go this way, and it could kill. Mm-hmm. But like everybody would go that way, so you know, like I try to avoid that shit. And so I'm pretty good at that stuff. Now again, I'm not saying oh my jokes are awesome, but they're definitely not hacky. You mm-hmm. know, they might not be funnier than whatever, but they're mm-hmm. not. You're not going to say it's not like an original thought
right.
or a cool idea,
right?
And so yeah, I was always good at that stuff, but then there's other things I'm fucking terrible at. You know, my work ethic was like shit for a long time.
Well, that's
like
a lot
I'm
of
just
comedians.
Finally getting
yeah
back at it again. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Where like when I started, it was like, I mean, I was a kid, so I was like, okay, in the summers, like, not really.
Yeah.
Or like December, it's like, oh, it's Christmas time. Yeah, Why would I get up? It's
Take
like, I was crazy, and you can't do mm-hmm. that stuff.
Yep.
And then when my dad passed away, I mean, for like a year, I barely did it. And I acted like I did, but I didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Barely. I mean, I did it, but just not really. Mm-hmm. And just now I'm starting to,
you know,
like, really, you know. Get back into it. So there's been so many moments of like me disappearing for a minute or doing this and doing that. And
what was the reason for it? Because your dad, you just didn't want to.
No, I love. Okay, so he died like it's gonna be 2 years ago this December, and then when he passed away in December, I was like, I'm gonna stay home for 2 months,
right,
and just make sure everyone's good. I don't know. I mean, he was in the hospital, and I was sitting next to him writing jokes about it.
Oh,
like
wow.
I was ready to talk about it.
Right.
If you talked to me that night, I was, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I was able to make jokes about it.
Right.
But I was just like, I'm just going
to
stay home. I'm just
going to
stay home.
You had the resilience to do that. And
yeah, I like wrote like a, yeah, I would just like pitch ideas. I mean, that, and that's the other great part about having that is like, you're updating your friends, but they're not just friends. They're like comics first.
And you're doing it in a way.
And so you're like, hey, look, this is what happened. Okay, so, you know, he's got cancer, but now he's having these strokes and this and that, this and that. And then like your friend's just like, new number, who is this? You know, like things like that, like break you out of the shit where it's like, yeah, it's going to be all right. I mean, my dad was making jokes when he could barely speak, you know?
Yep.
And so I was ready to go on stage. I just didn't want to. I just wanted to be with my family. I wanted to just be a fucking person. Again, like from when I was 17 till just last year, I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't speak to girls.
Yeah.
Because I was like too involved in this bullshit. And also, I mean, I wasn't good at speaking to them. So it's a good excuse to say I was too involved in doing this.
Right.
And when I went back, the night I went back, it was Valentine's Day. So it was like February, whenever the fuck Valentine's Day is. And that's when I went back. So I took off 2 months and I went back and I did like 15 minutes. It wasn't long, but like I closed out the show and it was like a lot of my friends, like Scott's coming back. It wasn't the biggest deal, but some people were happy.
Yeah.
And it was like the greatest feeling in the world. I just talked about my dad for 15 minutes and it all hit and I was like excited.
That's awesome.
People were like, this is, and so when I get to talk about him on stage and that, it's like so much more rewarding and fun.
Yeah.
And then some people get freaked out by it.
Yeah.
And then some people come up to you afterwards or message you and they're like, thank you so much.
Dude, that helped me. Yeah,
exactly. And that's cool because I never really got that before. But yeah, so I like that a lot. But yeah, for like a year, I was just like on and off. Like I was just like, I wanted a girlfriend, you know?
Yeah.
Like I found a girl and I was like, all right, like I'm going to do, like I dropped out of college for comedy.
Yeah, dude.
And I didn't, when I was in college, I would skip class and just sit in the library and either
write jokes
or like read biographies on guys that I liked. So I was just like, I'm going to try to be a person. I never went to parties and shit.
Yeah.
And when I did go to parties, I don't drink. So like, it's like, I was very removed from a lot of things. So I was like, let's take a year to just be a goddamn person, you know?
Yeah.
Put family first and stuff. So that's
cool. Well, thanks for bringing that up. Cause I actually kind of, I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
But, cause you know, I don't even think I ever said, I apologize for your loss in person. It's like,
yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
I did.
Okay. Yeah, you came up to me. I was, you didn't do it in the text, and you came up to me in person. You're like, I just didn't want to do it in the text. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, good then. I didn't know if I did that or not.
Yeah, you did.
Because the reason why I talked to you about that is because a few reasons. Because you talked about him at Caroline's. When you did the
that
show.
That was nice, man. Because that's the first time my mother ever saw me.
Yeah.
That was the first time. I never let my. I mean,
did
John
your dad
Wallach
ever see you? Do comedy?
So when I first started, and I should still be doing this, you should record like every time you get on stage.
Yeah,
even if you're getting on stage four times a night, just fucking record it all.
Yeah. And,
my first like year I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
you would show him some stuff.
No, I would never. I would never do that. Yeah. But he just like looked through the camera one day. And
oh,
like
yeah.
One night he was just like, oh, I looked through some of the stuff. It was funny. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, and he knew like I was doing like okay.
Yeah.
When I wasn't doing okay, but like he like knew I was going to keep doing it and he never questioned me, which is really cool.
That's
you
awesome.
Know? And then once he passed, that's like when I got like management and shit like that.
That's crazy.
And that's when like things started like taking off in like a cool way where like I can actually physically show you proof of something happening.
Yeah.
You know? But,
that one joke you did where I think it was something your dad said about how you could tell Italians are full of shit
because I used to say that all the time.
The reason why they have brown eyes is because they're full of shit.
Which
all the
I've
way
never
up to
said
here.
On stage before. I just said it
you
that
said,
night. Yeah. Because
awesome.
I mean, he used to say that all the time.
That's awesome.
I'm sure a lot of people have said that. That's why I only said it that night because I don't think it's like his joke. You know? I just think it's a thing people say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was a funny guy.
Yeah.
A strange guy.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Do you think you like some of your comedic sensibility came from him?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's things he would never want, you know, like, why would you say that?
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah, yeah, publicly.
Yeah, there's like an attitude about us that is for sure the same. There's like a chip on our shoulder for some reason.
And that was the first time your mom saw you?
First time ever. I mean, I think she saw me at the high school once, but I was just like hosting a
thing. That thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
I was there.
Like, I didn't do, it wasn't, because my senior year of high school, I did like a half hour, which is insane.
Yeah, you know, you came back when you weren't in high school
anymore.
Yeah,
and I just like hosted some
guys. And there was four other guys.
Yeah, yeah,
you did
some
jokes in between.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but I didn't even want to because I didn't have any, you know? And so she saw that. But yeah, I mean, a big thing with my mother too is like, she'll like ask, because my sister's Caitlin has probably seen me more than anybody.
Right.
And my sister Christine never saw me until that night.
Really?
And, you know, but she would ask Caitlin like privately, like, should he be doing this? Like, be honest, you know? Because how many people do things and they're fucking terrible at it, you know?
Right.
And, you know, Caitlin would be like, no, don't worry about it. So thank God that show went well. But then I watched it. Finally, I got the tape of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched it. I hate it. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I remember you told me after that there was a lot of jokes
Well, there's a bunch of things I missed that I forgot to say, which I was mad about. And then, when I was watching, I was just like, oh, this is the fucking worst.
Well, if that's a bad show, that's good.
No, but it was a really good show. It was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was. Like, I mean, I walked off that night. That was crazy.
Yeah,
like, that's
that was
like,
awesome, dude.
That was fun. This is because it was like literally you work really hard and nobody gives a shit. And I don't publicize it. So no one even knows I'm working hard, you know?
Yeah.
And then for that night to happen was cool. It was just like, you get to be king for a day. Like you get to be the thing you want to be someday.
Yeah.
And it was cool, man. And my mom was like, so emotional and it was awesome. Yeah.
That's
crazy.
Awesome. And you were able to validate like,
dropped
out of school for a reason.
Yeah,
I haven't
I'm
been just
fucking
sitting
around
on my ass this whole time.
This is a real
I've
thing.
Been doing some work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then when I got flown out to LA last week, like, that was like, she's like, whoa, like this isn't a fluke.
This isn't
a
thing.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's crazy, dude. That's awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking about that, but I just want to wrap it up. I have a few more questions, we were talking about how people inside the world of comedy affect comedy, but I was wondering your opinion in terms of the way people outside of the world of comedy affect comedy.
Yeah.
And you saw the first episode of South Park, right?
Yeah, it's the best.
The whole PC shit.
It's the best.
What are your thoughts on that and how they did it? And
it's awesome.
And the whole PC bullshit. Dude, there's this girl. All right, I wanted to talk to you about this. There's this girl. There is this girl at my school. Anyone from Quinnipiac is going to know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Who, she was this orphan, but apparently like her parents may have not even died. Like apparently she like left her home.
Oh,
I don't know
shit.
What the situation she was in that made her have to do that. So whatever, I'm not going to speculate on that. And she was this foster kid and she has like an Hispanic background. So she always, anytime there's any injustices in that arena, she always posts these long
in what arena?
Facebooks.
In the orphan arena?
Yeah, any like or Hispanic anyone like the thing with Amy Schumer. She talked about when she said something.
What did Schumer do?
She had some joke about Hispanics that was like racist, and she brought that up. She was like, "Oh, I was gonna go see Trainwreck, but now I'm not." And all
it's
these
like,
other
fine.
Things.
No one gives a shit.
Yeah. And there was this event at my school that the sorority put on as a philanthropy event for CASA, which is, I think, some nonprofit for kids or something.
Yeah.
I should know. I'm an asshole for not. But the event was queso for casa, and they got Hispanic Mexican style food for the event. And on the poster, it was maracas.
Yeah.
And she made this status saying that
like,
it was a stereotypical like
Yeah, which like
thing
it
that
is,
doesn't represent the culture.
But who gives a shit? Like, right. I don't understand why anybody right. cares about anything.
Because it's offensive because you made it offensive.
Yeah, but like also, even if it was like blatantly offensive.
Yeah.
Like who gives, I don't give a shit. Like people are like, I can't believe Donald Trump is saying this. I don't, he can literally say anything.
That's the difference between people like that and people like you and me is things should be more funny than offensive. And nothing should be offensive.
Yeah, it should just be like, yeah, I don't, I've never been offended. Like yeah. I've seen guy, I swear, I don't think I've ever been offended in my life.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something weird, there's something offensive in the only sticking up for your specific thing.
Oh yeah, that's, yeah, of course.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're not, yeah. Well, I mean, if you stood up for everything, you couldn't exist.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't.
Yeah,
it's all about like agendas.
Yeah.
And shit like that. And listen, there's like some serious problems in the world.
Yeah.
There is.
For sure.
I mean, it's insane. But, just like, and you have to address them, but like, don't be such a drag.
But I guess my question was, how do you feel that that's having an effect on comedy? Do you think it's like going to stick around, or do you think it's not that big of a deal? Do you think people are still able to?
I think it's like a pendulum.
Freely?
It's a pendulum.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it, it's cyclical.
It gets really like that, and then it goes back to whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely now more than
things
ever.
Are getting all PC again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The whole South Park thing, which was the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's a weird thing because I do understand. They're coming from a good place. Like,
yeah,
they really are.
Sure. Yeah,
like this girl really thinks it's like you just got to pick your spots.
Yeah,
there's bigger issues than that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, it's maracas. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And also, like, they used maracas. There's no way we just invented the fact that they used maracas. And even if we did, like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just. No one hates Mexicans because of maracas.
Dude, like, I went to Mexico this summer and there was like so many stands with maracas in
there.
I was like, fuck yeah, there's fucking maracas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody exploits their thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah
Irish
yeah,
people
yeah.
drink and they exploit.
Potatoes.
And who cares? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, yeah, people are very uptight. And I get it. They want to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
But I mean, just be nice and the world will be fine.
Dude, you know? That's why... And I, this could be me completely making this up in my own head, but did you hear about how Facebook, you know, do you have Facebook?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's there yet, but they're doing the dislike
button. The dislike button, yeah.
And I thought that, I was hoping that the reason that they did that was because of what we just talked about, in that there's all these people who are saying all these things, like that girl, and she's getting like 50 or 60 likes,
mm-hmm, yeah.
and it's validating her to continue to do things
opinion,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there would be people given the option to click a dislike button, but they don't want to comment and be like, this is fucking stupid,
but they
don't have any other way of doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was wondering if like people at Facebook were like, well, maybe we can stop this validation by giving people the option to not validate.
I think people are cowards though. I don't think anyone who genuinely disliked something would
dislike.
Hit the dislike button.
Yeah.
The dislike button is so your friends can bust your ball. That's all it is. It's like, you could say something great and I'm going to dislike it because it's just funny to me to dislike my friend's shit. Like there's no way.
Yeah, but
it's going to be all trolling. There's no way it's going to be legitimate disagreements.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I can't.
Can only hope.
Yeah, Facebook is hell. I like scrolling through because it is entertaining.
Yeah, but
I can't comment on shit. And if I ever do comment on something, I regret it three minutes later.
Yeah. Whenever I post a status, because I've been posting status about this, and before that,
I
never really posted statuses.
Yeah,
now, whenever
stupid.
I post an episode, I'm like, this is the third episode.
That's all
I say.
Yeah, I don't like. Yeah. There's
I don't want to bother people's time.
Talk so much on the fucking thing.
Yeah.
They're all the worst.
Life stories every day.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, there's people I specifically like look up just to be like, oh, yeah, they're
see
bad
what
shit.
They're
like,
doing.
This is fun.
Yeah.
Or like just
people
so
who
arrogant.
Post way,
people's opinions
way
on shit.
Way too personal of shit.
Yeah.
That like you just see gets no likes.
Yeah, like I don't care. Like yeah, I don't about it. Yeah, any of that.
There was someone
stuff.
I'm not going to say who, but there was someone who posted something who someone in their family had cancer.
Yeah,
and they posted, I wish someone would have told me that having a family member has cancer who has cancer turns the rest of your family into alcoholics.
Oh
I
my
was like,
God!
Oh
it's like
my
really.
Dude,
let's
why
just
the
yeah.
Fuck! Would you ever post that?
That's amazing.
Yeah, you know who it is. I'll tell you after.
That's a cool.
Yeah,
it's just like shut up.
Yeah,
dude. When my dad was in the hospital, like I didn't tell some of my best friends that he was like in the hospital until they were like, he's gonna die, and I was like, all right, maybe I should tell my friends before he does die, and other people find out.
Yeah,
it's just like mind your fucking business, man.
Yeah,
but people.
people.
People are lonely. Yeah,
they use that as an outlet to try to connect with people.
Yeah,
and
some people, like, they legitimately, yeah, that's how they, like, cope with shit.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's just sad because nobody cares.
Yeah.
At all.
Wow. Anyway, I want to wrap this up soon. I guess the last question I have for you is, because when you're a comedian, there's...
Yeah, this is like a very serious comment. We didn't make one joke. Holy
yeah, sorry.
Shit.
Well, I mean, no, I'm just, to be honest, I don't even know if anyone's going to really relate to this,
yeah, yeah,
but like, because I'm just interested in your process,
yeah,
just because I'm interested in that stuff. But I guess I always like to end with like hopes for the future type thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I guess for comedians, there's a very... I mean, there isn't a very specific way about going about things, but mm-hmm, there is stereotypes of like, oh, you get to do your first special and then you like hope to get on a sitcom or you get to get featured on a talk show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like,
yeah, yeah,
there's all these points that you can try to mm-hmm, work towards. But I was wondering, you seem like somewhat untraditional in your path, somewhat, but not really. Maybe
yeah,
just
not
in
really
terms of trying to promote yourself and all
yeah,
that
the promotion
other
thing. But there's a lot of guys like that too.
Yeah,
so many
yeah,
funny
yeah,
guys who won't
yeah,
do that shit.
Throat. But like, do you have any long-term, short-term plans, like things you would like to do
in terms of
the business?
I want to do it all.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I was lucky when I showed up to the city.
Mm-hmm.
I was very young, and so nobody was mean to me. I mean,
mm-hmm,
you show up at a certain age, people don't want you there. Like,
right.
I mean, everyone's in competition, but when you're young enough, it's just like, ah, this kid, you know, we'll treat him right.
And right.
So I've been lucky
That's
enough
awesome.
That, and then to work with those guys. And, you know, a lot of my friends are finding success now. And,
yep,
like, now when I have meetings, a lot of, like, I had a meeting and, like, the first thing I said was, like, so a lot of funny people think you're funny. And it's like, oh, you don't know anything about me. You know, it's just, like, word
yeah,
of mouth
yeah,
type of thing.
No executives do.
Yeah.
Dude, it's surprising how many movie executives don't even watch TV.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
like, someone
absolutely
like Charlie Day will have
yeah,
to go and audition for a movie. It's like, I have a whole show
yeah,
where you could see what I do.
It's insane, yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, continue. What you're
and
doing.
So, yeah, like, I see friends of mine succeeding that are, like, 5 years, 6 years older than me, stuff like that, some 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to do that stuff. I want a late night sit and all that.
Yeah.
But, like, eventually, you know, years down the road, I just want to be making hours every year or two.
Yeah.
Consistently, I want people to give a shit. And I want to be saying something that no one's saying.
Mm-hmm.
The
great thing about stand-up comedy is it's self-productive. It's self, like, you don't have to worry about anyone else. You can make your own shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course, you're gonna worry about
yeah,
everybody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you're just human.
But, like, if something else isn't working out in terms of, like, some comedians want to go act in something,
yeah,
but you could always go back to stand-up. You
yeah,
can always,
exactly.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and that's the best part. It's
yeah,
it's always, like, if I ever get anything...
Right.
Just know I'm doing it so people hopefully come see me do stand up.
Right.
If I'm ever on anything, and you go, oh, that's not very good. It's like, yeah, he knows.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
Yeah, dude.
Because that's a fear of mine too. It's like, what if I do get something one day, which like I would be just so lucky to get anything.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
what if I do and it
I get
sucks,
on a sitcom and it's terrible.
Yeah. It's like, trust me, I know more than you.
I'm
so critical of myself.
Yep.
It's everything is just hopefully more people will want to watch me do stand up.
Yeah.
But I'm not even at that point yet. I'm still trying to figure out fucking what the hell I want to say,
yeah,
you know? And it's getting there. But I mean, there's so many guys who nobody knows. I mean, hundreds of guys that nobody
yeah,
knows that are so much better than me at this.
Yeah.
And there's guys that everybody knows that I think I'm better than. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, it's ups and downs. But yeah, man, I want to be the best at this. Anybody who doesn't want to be the best at this, why are you? That's like anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a boxer, you want to be the champion.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why the fuck are you boxing?
Basketball player,
why are you getting punched in the head if you don't want to, yeah, if you don't
yeah,
want to, you know, have a title belt?
Right.
So yeah, that's the ultimate goal. Right now, in the next year, I just want to be at more clubs. I want to get booked more
start
consistently.
Headlining more clubs, maybe.
Yeah, I want to start headlining. You know, like more clubs outside of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Little things.
Have you toured
see
that
rooms,
much, like,
whatever.
The
I mean, it's all like feature work. Like next Friday. I don't know when you're posting this, but
yeah,
Friday, whatever the fuck Friday is, I don't even know. I'm featuring for Michelle Wolf, who's a writer on Seth Meyers. She's really fun.
Yeah.
It's like I'm doing stuff like that. It's like I'm featuring for people I really enjoy.
Yeah.
And then hopefully one day I headline. And,
cool.
You know what I mean? So that's like literally it's just day by day. I'm just trying to work on whatever stupid joke idea I have.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing I heard someone say, I think it was Aziz Ansari, and someone told him that, is that all I really need to worry about is just killing.
Yeah. It's like the Steve Martin thing. It's like just be undeniable.
Yeah. And then people will find everything else will fall into place.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's the goal. Not just to be like undeniable, because, man, there's guys who, a lot of my friends, you know, just comics are just like, man, that guy stinks, but they kill. They do so well with audiences. And so for me, and this is probably stupid, but I want comics to enjoy it first and then the audience. Just because I grew up with it. Like, these are, you know, these were my peers since high school comics, you know? So it's like I want them to like it. And then I worry. And I want myself to like it. Yeah. So, but again, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about either. Like, I literally, next week, I could be like, I totally changed my opinion on everything.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I don't even like talking about comedy. If cons try to talk about my, I don't give a shit.
I'm sorry for this whole
I don't
want to
talk about my process or anything.
Oh my God. I hate doing that stuff.
Yeah, I hate doing that stuff.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, because this was barely, because we didn't really talk about process or anything. But yeah, it's I just want to be great. And I think, even saying that sounds ridiculous, you know, for some reason, but it's like, that's just all I want to be. I just want to be the best, and I'm going to try to figure it out, and fucking, that's it. Like,
and if you're the 13th best, then you'll deal with it.
And do I think I stink? Like, I think almost everybody stinks. I think there's like been like 7 amazing comics ever. And everybody else is like just a different 50, level 50, of shitty. Yeah, yeah, it's like
you're
a different.
300 though.
Yeah.
You're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, I want to be great. I want to be, and listen, there's guys who I think suck, that I think are better than me. If that makes any sense, I don't like my act. I mean, I like it to a degree. Mm-hmm. I like where I'm going with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think people like my act, but
you could always do better for yourself.
But yeah, and I want to. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's it. I'm just super critical of myself. And everything.
Well, fuck,
and
that's man. It.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for walking across the.
I don't even know what I said this past hour.
Yeah, it's okay. I could fucking talk to you for a whole another hour.
Yeah, I know, we could.
But I want to thank you for doing this, and I think you'll be able to make strides. And
yeah,
I think,
man,
you're going in a good direction.
Yeah, I'm trying.
So. Yeah.
And if it blows up my face, I mean, so what? What did everybody else fucking do?
Yeah, right.
You know, if you got jobs out of fucking school, that sounds terrible to me.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, God.
No. You're like, I want to talk about that now.
No, I don't. Oh, God. All right.
So, yeah. Well, the one last thing is like, because what is this podcast about? It's about like young people looking for work, right? So it's going to be people your age looking for shit.
You know, it's people of the whole.
It's like, look, if you get like an office job, right?
Yeah.
You know where you're going to be on a Wednesday in 7 years. You're going to be in maybe a different room.
It's not just about people looking for work. It's about people who maybe want to be creative and are listening to you talk. And they're like, wow, maybe I could
do it. So if you want to be creative, just do it. I don't give a shit. Okay, so I saw Louis C.K.'s Hilarious, that special.
Yeah.
I saw it at IFC Center however old I was.
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah. And no, it was like way before that. Hilarious. So it was like Shameless, Chewed Up, Hilarious. And
Shameless, Chewed Up, Hilarious. They filmed live at the beginning.
Yeah, and so we watched it on a big screen at IFC Center, and then he did a Q&A session. He did like a Q&A session afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And some guy behind me, and I like just started comedy, and some guy behind me was like, for up-and-coming comics, do you have any advice?
Right.
And he goes, yeah, you're going to fail. You're not going to succeed at this, but you have to do it anyway. And that's how I feel about anything. Like, just do it. What, are you going to end up in a ditch? Who gives a shit?
Just
like, life isn't that important no one's better than a ditch, you know? So fucking just do it. Who cares?
Shit, man.
And if you're jealous of people who, I had a buddy who was doing comedy with me, but he was a little older than me, and his friends started getting like really great jobs, and he quit comedy because.
Out of jealousy.
Because he just wanted, he wanted to be able to do things with his friends because they had the money to do it. And it's like. There's guys who I go, shit, they're making this much money, but I know where they're going to be in 7 years, and I don't know where I'm going to be in 7 years, and I think that's way more exciting.
Yeah.
And it's scary,
but
I don't, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, I don't have kids. I don't give a shit. So, that's it. Like, literally, if I have kids, maybe I'll start worrying. That's when I figure out. That's when you find out if you're, like, a good person or not.
Yeah. Well, man, shit. Holy fuck.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man. No, thank you.
All right.
All right, brother.
Let's end this shit.
Yeah, let's do it. Peace.
All right, everybody. That's it. Thank you very much to Scott. I had a fun time. I really enjoyed that. I'm very thankful that he talked to me. So if you are a fan of Scott and or, you know, a fan of stand-up comedy or just a general fan of laughter, you can check him out at the Stand Comedy Club on Monday, October 21st. And also you can check him out at the New York Comedy Festival, which is from November 10th to November 15th. So yeah, thanks again to Scott. And listening back, there were so many different things that I heard that I wish we talked about more, like the whole moral obligation to stand-up comedy and whether or not there should be one or shouldn't be one. And just, yeah, a bunch of different stuff. But I was very thankful to be able to talk to him. So yeah, stay tuned for the next episode. I have a few interviews in the bank for my trip up to Quinnipiac that I want to release soon. So yeah, thanks again. And we'll see you next week.